Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches on the power of grace, with this message entitled, The Means of Special Grace. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to James chapter 4. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
It is true, we need more grace. So James 4, 6 says, He gives more grace. It is an error to think what we need is more money. That's an Americanism. More money will fix everything. And I oppose that idea. It is false. It is straight from the mouth of the devil. What we need is more money. What we need is what?
More grace.
More grace, more God. So we are talking briefly about grace. And grace, we are not going to speak about common grace. Common grace means grace that comes to all people. Every human being in the world receives common grace by which they can achieve many, many things. But it cannot save you. So we are talking not about common grace, but special grace. So, who receives special grace? Only those who are born of God. Those who are new creation. Those who experienced an immediate, direct, miraculous work of God in the soul of man. One who has been raised up spiritually from death. And one may say that you are a Christian. That doesn't mean anything. You can fake special grace, but in due time, you will identify yourself as not a believer. So grace begins, the work of grace begins by regeneration. What is regeneration? A bad tree is made a good tree. Change of nature. A pig is changed into a lamb. Change of nature. So what is grace? What is special grace? It is power, divine ability, flowing to us from the triune God via the cross, where Christ sacrificed himself. So a sinner is graceless. He may have a lot of money and he may pretend to be somebody, but he's graceless. He's an enemy of God. He's ungodly. He's wicked. He can only sin. He sins in the morning, sins at noontime. He sins in the evening and he sins in the middle of the night. He's sinning, thinking about what to do the next day. He can only sin. But a true believer receives grace daily from Christ, because we need grace. It is by grace we live. We need grace as we breathe. And somebody spoke about lack of prayer. Well, I said, that's sad. Let me tell you why you don't pray. You have too much what? Money. And you experience a false sense of sufficiency. I was at 4:15, I still work. Why is that? Grace. I need grace and He gives me grace. I'm always working. Grace. A believer receives grace daily from Christ. Why is it? Because we are united with Jesus Christ as a vine. A branch is united to the vine. And all that branch does is due to the sap that flows into that branch automatically. This is why the mother of all doctrine, John Murray said, is union with Christ. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, and James 4, and verse 6, we read this. Not only He gives more grace, but He gives more grace to the humble, to the weak, to those who are incompetent in themselves. And those, therefore, those who make use of what in theology we call means of grace. I feel sorry for you if you don't pray. And if you pray 1 minute, you may have to consider well, seriously, whether you are a Christian. Means of grace. God has given us means of grace. And my grandson came and recited a verse. Well, I liked that. Yeah, teach more verses from the scriptures. Because, number one, means of grace is God's word which you are to read and study and eat. Examine yourself. What are you doing with the word of God? Do you read the word of God or do you eat a lot of food? Jesus said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's number one, the word of God. I get up very early and with my wife, that's the greatest time of the day to read the word of God. With understanding. We want to know what God is saying so that we can apply it to our life. Prayer is God's means of grace. It is a miracle that you pray here and eternal God will hear it and answer it. It is a great gift to us that God will hear our prayers and answer our prayers. It is sad that we don't pray as we ought. The sacraments, means of grace, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, which we in this church practice weekly. In fact, twice a week, there is sacrament, the Lord's Supper, here on Wednesday morning. Worship. What we are doing is worship. It is means of grace. And fellowship of the people of God. I was there in a house of a rich man and a number of people there. We were eating and fellowshipping. I said, this is a picture of heaven on this side of heaven. That people of God are fellowshipping and eating and conversing spiritual things. And people are hearing, they are being edified. So if grace is like air, and like water, and like food for us, then we have to assert that we as God's people cannot live without grace. Yes, sir. Not more money, sir. We need more grace. I don't believe in the American culture and every stupid thing this country tells me. I don't believe it. It is one of the most detestable culture, the Western culture. A shameful culture. It is sad that we are degenerated. So bad. So if grace is what we need, the question is, how can we get it? Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. St. Paul with a thorn in the flesh. Maybe a disease. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me what? Come on, sir. My money is sufficient for you? No, sir. My grace. Grace that flows from me and the grace that I give it to you. My grace is sufficient for you. What is grace? Here it is. My power. My power is made perfect in weakness. Let me tell you right then and there. Elisha told the widow to go and collect empty vessels. God refuses to give grace to the secure, to the sufficient, to the competent, to the proud, to the arrogant. Become empty vessels, empty of our own arrogance and sufficiency. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Grace is power, grace is spirit. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power. So there is a description of what grace is. Grace is God's power. Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in humility, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. And when I am weak, because when I am weak, empty vessel, then I am strong. So he says in Philippians 4 verse 13, he says, I can do all things. That is all the will of God. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me. Grace coming to St. Paul in his weakness and making him able to do all the will of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9. And verse 8, there's a young man from medical school came to see me, and I took 15 minutes. And I told him to memorize this verse, sir. Recite every day of your life. It is God's guarantee and promise to give you grace to go through the medical school and come out with flying colors. For the glory of God. So here we are told, and God is able. Let's say that together. God is able. I don't worry about whether you are able or not. I don't worry about whether I am able or not. If I am united to Jesus Christ, then I only want to know one thing. Is he able? Is he able? And here, and God is able. God is able to make you able. God is able to make all grace, all power, all ability, all strength, divine strength, all wisdom, able to make all grace abound to you. Abundance of grace, abundance of power and sufficiency. So that in all things, that is all the will of God. In all things, at all times, old age, teenage, doesn't matter. At all times, economic downturn, during war times, having all that you need, the empty vessel is filled. The oil of the Spirit of God is poured into us, that you will abound in every good work. That means that you will be able to do every will of God. We refuse to believe in Christian antinomianism. That I'm a Christian, therefore I don't have to obey God. No, sir, that's a lie from the pit.
That's right.
Here it is saying, God will give you all grace so that you can do every good work. What is good work? The will of God for your life. That's what it is. For instance, you have to work 6 days a week. A total of 72 hours. And you have to make money. See, we need money, isn't that true? We need money. There was a time when people didn't need money. They barter goods. But today we have to have money and we work. But you are not going to get money without working. And to work, what you need is what? Grace. And God gives you grace. God gives you the ability to produce wealth. And if you don't have the money, there are tragedies and things like that that happen once in a while. But generally, poverty is due to our not doing the will of God. I wish I can do nothing and get money. I've been in this country 4 years, never received one dime from the government. I worked and I paid the bill. I worked by grace. So we need grace to do the will of God. And here we are promised that he will give you all grace, abounding grace, for the purpose that you may do the will of God. If you are not doing the will of God, it is because you are graceless. It is because you are arrogant. You are full of something. Full of boasting, full of self-strength. And you'd read the Gospels and see who received grace and healing and deliverance from Jesus Christ. Not the politicians, not the Sadducees, not the Pharisees, the lepers, the prostitutes, the blind, the needy. You begin to ask, how come you don't have grace? How come you haven't done the will of God? It's because you don't have grace. How come you don't have grace? Because you are arrogant. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You see, this year you can be highly productive. You can accomplish much this year. God has given you the time. And I know some of you may die. I'll be there to bury you, God willing. But some of us are going to live. Thank God for the time. Thank God for opportunity. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about how God regenerated people, made them alive by the mighty operation of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And then the purpose for our life is revealed to us in chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork. The Greek word is poem. God's work. We are new creation. Created in Christ Jesus. What is the purpose? To do good works. Sir, not to have fun and go to San Francisco and go any every other place and have fun. This American nonsense, fun. We tell our kids, go and have what, sir? Fun. See, we live by fun, not by grace. We live fun. Fun, sir, fun. Is it fun? I'm glad that I was not born or brought up in this country. I detest its cultural corruption. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Purpose, what does it say? To do good works. Let's say that together. To do good works. And you ask the question, what are good works? I just told you it is the will of God. Notice, which, that is good works, God prepared in advance. God has foreordained from all eternity that he will save a people, and these people will walk in the will of God and do the will of God and delight in the will of God. That's what it says. The translation in New International Version is not very good. Which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. In other words, good works is seen as a highway. The will of God is a highway. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35, beginning with verse 8. And a highway will be there. Say that together. And a highway will be there. A highway is the will of God. It will be there. Don't come and tell me I don't know what to do. Here it is stated, a highway will be there. No matter what and no matter when. No matter how complex your situation. A highway will be there. God's will be clear to you. How can I walk in the will of God when it is not clear to me? And my God will make it clear to me as I use the means of grace. And I will know what the will of God is. A highway will be there. It will be a highway, sir, not a little trail. It will be a highway built up, sir. And you look, you can see it. A highway will be there. It will be for those who walk in that way. That is God's people, regenerated people, born again people, nature changed people. It will be called the way of holiness. Oh, people hate this business of holiness. It is a strange idea. Came into Christianity, people think we should be delivered of this whole idea of holiness. It will be called the way of holiness, revealed in the scriptures. The unclean will not journey on it. They hate it. Their nature is unclean. And they'll be told, the pastor will tell, the father will tell, the mother will tell, here is the highway, son, walk in it. And he says, no deal. Why is that? I hate the highway. I hate the will of God. I hate the way of holiness because my nature is wicked. But it will be reserved for those who walk that way. And notice, wicked fools will not go about on it. They will avoid it. They hate it. And they have no problem in taking the sideways to the left or to the right. Wicked fools who are godless, they will not walk in it. No lion will be there. Christian people, don't worry about getting on the highway of God. No one will molest you. You are safe, you are saved. The one who goes ahead of you is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, come and follow me. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get upon it. Wicked fools will never get upon it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with what's singing. See, there's great fellowship in this way. People are walking, people are going, people are talking, people are singing. As people from Galilee came to worship on feast days to Mount Zion, there was a great fellowship. There is singing. There is praying, there is praising, there is everything. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads. And we will arrive in the heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Zion with singing. Not sighing, not groaning, not mourning. We will arrive with singing, the redeemed of the Lord we are. We are the ransomed of the Lord. And we will go on singing, praising, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Aren't you glad that you are on the highway of holiness? And Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. To Joshua, God said, don't turn to the right or to the left. I recently read this highway of holiness. It said, on either side is a precipice. Don't turn to the right, sir. Don't turn to the left. It will destroy you, sir. Go straight. It is straight and it is narrow, but it leads to eternal life. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Joy and singing will be there. And so, sir, Christianity does not promote antinomianism. And let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 quickly. Here is the highway. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And what's the purpose, sir? Verse 17. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God will have a holy people who will do every good work by grace. And turn to the to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. This is for women in our church. 9 and 10. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good works. Good works. Clothe yourselves with good works, with holiness, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Chapter 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. No widow may be put on the list of widow unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for good works. And then there are a list of it, not an exhaustive one, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good works. And to the rich people, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, command them to do good. Rich people, command them to do good. To be rich in good works, which is simply obedience to the revealed will of God. Titus 1, verse 16. And here we read, they claim to know. These are false professors in the church. These are the antinomians. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny Jesus Christ. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. They hate the will of God. They will not do the will of God. Titus 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. zealous, hot, burning, eager to do good works, to do the will of God, to walk in that highway of holiness. Titus chapter 3 verse 1, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. And we discover what is good from the book. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. That's not promoting antinomianism, lawlessness. The Father says, do this, and you say, no deal. The reason is you are wicked. Your nature hasn't been changed, no matter what you profess. Titus chapter 3, verse 14, the last verse that I will read. Our people must learn what is it to devote themselves, give themselves over to completely. Devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. There is the will of God, which speaks about good works. It is the highway of holiness. The redeemed will walk in it. They will want to do it. They devote themselves to do it. They are eager to do it. Their joy is in doing it. That's why they are singing as they go on the highway of holiness. This church in this region preaches the gospel. We receive email. Our ministry is read by millions and millions of people throughout the world. And we receive reports. You preach it. We do it, sir, fearlessly. And I exhort you, if you are professing to be a Christian, receive grace. Use the means of grace. Understand the will of God. And by grace, do it. Be productive. Be successful. God is not miserly. He gives all grace, abounding grace. May God help us to pray. Oh God, give me grace to love my wife, to love my husband, to train my children, to go to work every day and do the best job by grace. To provide for families even in this economically troublous times. Bread is for children. We shall not lack bread. That is argument from minor to major. If God takes care of the birds, He'll take care of us. If He beautifies the lilies of the field, He will provide us clothes. And I say to you, all these years, God was faithful to me. He took care of me. He still takes care of me. And He'll take care of you. Heavenly Father, we pray that You help us not only to hear, but to do. But we cannot do, O Lord. We are not competent. We are not sufficient in ourselves. We are like empty vessels. We are weak. We come to You. And thank You for promising to give us grace. Abundant grace to do every will of God. O God, thank You that You have united us with Jesus Christ. We are incompetent, but He is competent. Our sufficiency is in Christ. We pray, O God, that You pour out Your Spirit upon us, Your power upon us. He shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And Lord, may Your Spirit come upon us and rest upon us and make us able so that we together with Saint Paul will say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthened me, strengtheneth me continually.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio with this message entitled, The Means of Special Grace. Come back soon for more transforming Bible teaching from Pastor P.G. Matthew.